Okay, I'm in John chapter 15 tonight. John 15, verse 1. Last time we were together, we saw words of comfort. That's what they were meant to be, words of comfort, words of encouragement. That God has promised the Spirit of God to be with us. That's good. Praise the Lord. And that's what he does. He's gracious, isn't he? He's kind. He's gracious. We've got our dips in the valley, in valleys that we go through, but he's still there, and he's a comfort to us. He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. And remember, this is sort of the background for... Wow. Must have been a balloon, was it? There we go. There you go. This was sort of the background to what we see here, because as we see this here, we discover this is the Spirit of God. And all the way through John 14, John 15, the last part of 14, 15, and 16, you're going to have a lot of references to the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit himself is God, and the Holy Spirit himself has come to live in God's people and to be with them. And without the Holy Spirit, you can't live this life. It's a sad thing when someone professes to be a Christian and really tries to live the Christian life and finds themselves so utter failure at it that they realize, hopefully they'll realize, well, I'm not really a Christian because the strength to live this life doesn't come from me. But when you do trust in the Lord, but as Christians sometimes we don't depend on the Spirit of God and we discover, boy, this isn't working out too good. So Jesus wants to use an illustration here. Now, anytime you have an illustration in the Bible, it doesn't mean that everything in that illustration, you can take that illustration and stretch it out to mean whatever you want it to mean. He's giving a basic illustration to help people to understand that we need God, that we need to be connected to God. So let's look at the illustration that he gives here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the one who looks after the vines. Now, Jesus was speaking to an agrarian society. That is a society that was made up of lots of farmers. And so there were all kinds of vineyards all around, and everybody knew about vineyards, and they knew what went on in a vineyard, and they knew, you know, what it was to dress, to look after the vines. And that's what a vine dresser would be doing, or the master of the vineyard. They would be looking at making sure that the vines were trimmed exactly the right way, like pruning trees or whatever you might want to think about. And he says, I want you to know, first of all, I am the true vine. Okay, so before he said he was the way, the truth, and the life, now he says, I'm the true vine. I'm the real vine. Now, what's interesting, too, is that Israel itself in the Old Testament was likened to a vine in the Old Testament. And often it was, you know, spoken in ways where they weren't what they were supposed to be. And that they were God's chosen, but they were not behaving like God's chosen. But now we have Jesus who comes on the scene and he basically says, listen, hey, everybody, I'm the true vine. I'm the one. It's me. He says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the one who looks after the vineyard. Every branch in me. Now, what's interesting is that in a whole vineyard, he says, it doesn't matter how many vines there are out there in this world, just thinking about the picture of it, there is only one true vine. Oh, that's good. Thanks, though. There's only one true vine. No matter how many other vines there are, no matter how many vineyards there are, there's only one true vine. Now, that is telling us that there's only one true source, okay? Because then what he says is, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. Now, so he's giving the picture, and he says, okay, there's only one true vine, that's me. And he says, if you're a branch in me, then you bear fruit. Because if you don't bear fruit, you're a dead branch. So he says, this is the picture he's giving. Dead branches, living branches. Dead branches, they're gone. Now, he wanted them to understand that because the Israelites themselves, the Jews, didn't really care about bearing fruit in their lives. And we're going to talk about fruit in a minute. What they cared about was keeping up the appearances and keeping the religious wheel running, the whole system moving. They didn't care about the heart matters. God cares about fruit bearing. That's what he wants in your life. He wants you to bear fruit. So can you tell me what fruit bearing is? What is that? Can you give me an idea? Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, long-suffering. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of God coming out in your experience. Now, the result of that is as well that you will see fruit growing in other places as a result of that kind of fruit. If your life is filled with these things, it's going to affect people around you, isn't it? Do you think? It's wonderful if you find somebody who's bearing fruit. A fruit-bearing Christian is a beautiful thing to see. It really is. And it touches your soul. It affects you because suddenly you see the love. You experience that love. You see the love of God being expressed through people. And God has planned it that way. He's planned that this world, with all of its lack of love, would see genuine love being expressed through his people. In their character, in their conduct, in how they speak with other people, that they're bearing fruit, that it's real and it's alive. And so he says, the branches that are in me that don't bear fruit, he takes them away. If they're not bearing fruit, then they're dead. It's kind of like what James says, you know, faith without works is dead. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now the pruning part, what happens when you prune a tree? Yeah, you take the branch and you trim that branch, right? So you look at it and you say, okay, I want more fruit. So that means I'm going to prune all those little extra branches that are coming out off the side so that this branch will bear more fruit, right? And so we see that he wants us to bear fruit, but he wants you to bear not just fruit, but more fruit. See that? Not just fruit, but more fruit. God is looking for more fruit to come out of your life. Are you? Do we become content and say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as I used to be. Oh, better than
I don't think you ever feel like good enough to keep trying.
Or I'm, you know, at least I'm better than so-and-so. You know?
Pharisee talking.
Yeah.
Better than what?
Better than so-and-so.
Oh, you can't judge people.
Well, no, but it's easy to do that. It's easy to think that in your mind. The Bible says if you compare yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise, right? But we can do that. But God is saying, not only do I want you to bear fruit, I want you to bear more fruit. The potential that you have, how limited is it then? How limited is the potential for you to bear fruit?
For yourself, you can't do it through Jesus by bearing through the vine.
Yes, but how limited is it? It's unlimited. Now that's something. Sometimes what our focus is on in life is really so far away from God's focus. He wants you to be fruit bearers, but he wants you to be fruit bearers producing more and more fruit in your life. More love, more patience, more kindness, more gentleness, more self-control. Better mothers, better fathers, better sons, better daughters, better brothers, better sisters. Beautiful stuff. That's what God is looking for in our lives. And he's looking to produce it in our lives. He says, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. He says, you know, you've already come to know me. But now he says, I want you to abide in me, John 15:4. And that word means to remain with me, stick with me, stay connected to me, and I in you. He says, I'm like a vine and you're like a branch. And the best way that you can bear fruit, the only way you can bear fruit is to stay what? Connected to me. Because, you know, when you talk about a vine, you know, Jesus was not saying this. I'm the trunk and you're the branches. That's what you're thinking, right? He's the trunk and we're the branches. But what does he actually say? I am the what? I'm the whole vine. I'm everything. That's right. I'm the vine. I'm the root. I'm the stem. I'm the vine. I'm the branches too. But you're the branches in me. But I'm the whole thing. So it isn't just, you know, I'm a branch disconnected here. The very life of Jesus Christ is in the branch too. How wonderful that is. I'm the vine, you're the branches. I want you to abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This is pretty plain stuff, isn't it? Pretty simple. He says, remain with me, stick with me, stay connected to me, and you will bear fruit. Not only will you bear fruit, you'll bear more fruit. And later on, we'll see that he says, not only will you bear more fruit, but you'll bear much fruit. Increasing fruit. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. See? Much fruit. So we have fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Imagine.
Multiplying.
That's right. Growing. For without me, you can do nothing. One of my favorite times of the year is in the fall. And, you know, sometimes I wish I lived in the Annapolis Valley. Or, you know, in the Niagara Peninsula, because I love peaches. I love fresh peaches. And when the fall comes and you get a basket of fresh peaches for about $5, boy, I'm telling you, I get a basket of peaches and I go home and I start gnawing on them. And there aren't many left. I make a few trips to the store for fresh peaches. I love them. That fresh fruit. Oh, and you walk in and you see those, you know, beautiful fresh fruit like that. Isn't it great? Isn't it nice? The Lord is looking for fresh fruit from you. He's not looking for stale fruit. He's looking for fresh fruit daily. Fresh love. Fresh forgiveness. Fresh joy. Waking up in the morning with the joy of the Lord. And going on with the joy of the Lord throughout the day. And when the day stretches and when stresses come, at the end of that day to still have some fresh fruit left. Yeah, sometimes that's not easy, is it? When everything goes wrong and you're ready to tear your hair out and tear the head off somebody else. Instead, to have fresh fruit rising up, fresh joy and love and grace and mercy. How can that be? How can a man or a woman live that way? By staying connected to Jesus. By realizing, I need to be constantly drawing from the vine here. Because the source of life is in the vine. Because without me, he says, you can do nothing. That vine pulls up all of the resources from the ground below, and it pulls it up and feeds it into the branches.
So it's so easy. It's all we have to do is really stay connected to him.
Absolutely.
That's all. We struggle so much to do things.
That's it.
That's the only thing. You're looking for Kleenex or something?
No, I was just checking to make sure I was recording. Yes, you're absolutely right. That is the central part of your Christianity, is to stay connected to Jesus. Everything else, it doesn't work. You could say, well, I'm going to get out and I'm going to try and be a better Christian today. Well, good luck to you. Instead of that, realize, oh, Lord, I need to stay connected to you. And practice the presence of God in this way throughout the day. Say, Lord, I've got to become more conscious of you all day long. I need to be conscious of you when I deal with my kids. I need to be conscious of you when I talk to my neighbors. I need to be conscious of you when I'm at work. Lord, I need to stay connected. It isn't enough to say a little prayer in the morning and say, well, God, I talked to you this morning, I'll talk to you tonight, and then I'll see you tomorrow morning, and then I'll see you the next night, and that's about it. Wow, I need to stay connected to Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't do your work or you can't do things. I think I've used this illustration before, but if Marie and I were driving to Halifax together in the car, it doesn't mean I have to be constantly talking to her, but I'm aware she's in the car, right? I might be half asleep or whatever. I'm still aware she's in the car. Hopefully she's driving then, though. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm reading that book that I read, I guess, A.W. Tozer.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book.
It really is. It's a great book. Yeah. And the 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, as John writes, he says, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, then he says, which we have gazed upon or looked upon. It is that constant gazing. And that's why it says in Hebrews chapter 12, It says we are to be looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, constantly abiding, resting, and trusting. Because he says, look, you can't do a thing without me. Oh, yeah, but I can go to work, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do all these things without you, God. No, he says, nothing for eternity, nothing that lasts, and nothing of value will be done without me. When will we believe that? When you think about the end of your day and what's been accomplished, only what has been accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit in you will last for eternity, will count. Won't matter what else you have. It wouldn't matter if you have 20 degrees after your name. All those degrees will be buried with you. What will matter is what you did in the strength and power and the person of the Spirit of God while resting, abiding. And the word abiding and remaining or resting is not an effort word. It's a rest word. It's a allow the source of life to feed you. It's a yielding word. It isn't an aggressive word. It's saying, listen, this is a natural order of things. Here's the vine, you're the branch. The natural order of things is what? For the sap from the vine to go into the branch. It's a natural order. It's not a forced thing. It is a simply of an accepting of this. It's a simply looking to the Lord, say, okay, Lord, you take over. You feed me, Lord. You fill me. You be my strength. You be my life. You be my power. And he will be all of that. Because he says, if anyone doesn't abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them in the fire and they're burned. This is the picture. It says, dead branches that don't abide in me, that have nothing to do with me. They have no life. They don't belong to me. They have nothing to do with it. He's giving that illustration here. He says, because if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Oh, there's that promise again. There's that promise of prayer that we saw in the previous chapter. That if I'm remaining in him, there is a vital connection with him, and that vital connection will translate itself into prayer, real prayer. It will translate itself into real communion with God. As I'm with the Lord, he's with me. This is not a passage to talk about that people can lose their salvation. This is a passage encouraging believers to understand that all of your Christianity is in your connection with Jesus. That's where it is. It's in your life with Jesus. It's in being with Jesus. It's in walking with him. It's being in communion with him.
It's like a phone call. Once you cut the connection, it's gone.
Yeah.
You have to keep it alive.
That's right. And it's not effort. It is resting in him. It is saying, okay, Lord, take over, take over. And maybe you need to practice that a little bit in your life, just in the sense of this. Okay, Lord, tomorrow morning, or the rest of this evening, Lord, I want to be conscious of your presence. Make me aware. Make me aware of your presence and keep me conscious of you. Keep me conscious of trusting you, depending upon you. And you'll be amazed, because when the next crisis comes, which will happen, right? All of a sudden, whoa, the Lord's here. The Lord's here. Okay, God, there's a better way to handle this. I want to tell you something. For all of you here tonight, there are better ways to handle the situations in your life. You might say, well, no, I've got them all down pat. But I know you don't, so that's why I said that. There are better ways. Let's find the best way. Let's go for the gold. Let's discover how much and how willing God is to pour into your life incredible experiences of trusting in God. You don't want to be one who sits on the sidelines and hears the testimonies of others of the presence of God and the power of God working in your experience and in these situations. You want to be one who says, hey, God, the same God that's blessing, that person's blessing me. And sometimes we're encouraged by that. Sometimes we're discouraged by it. I've been very encouraged to watch as my wife lives with cancer and with terminal cancer right from the beginning and abiding in him, resting in him, and at peace with him. She's taught me much and encouraged me to go deeper with God. So you want to find out, how deep can I go with God? You know, I remember a friend of mine who had become a Christian late in life, and when he finally did become saved, he was an old Newfoundlander. Oh, man, every time he started talking about Jesus, he started blubbering. He was just, oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is so good. And he meant it with all his heart and all his soul. But one thing he'd say to me, I can't understand why a Christian would want to go out as far as they could on the edge of sin and see how close they can get to sin or entertain sin and say that and still try to walk with God. He said, shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it want, we want to be, oh, how close can I be to my Savior and how far away I can be from sin? Yeah, that's what we want, isn't it? Isn't that what, in our heart's desire to understand that? And yet we know the draw is there. We know the world is there. We know the pressures are there and all those things. But in order to live that way, I need the power of God. And yet the Spirit of God is like the sap that comes through the vine and is willing to flow into your branch and cause fruit to be born. Beautiful fruit. And the result of that, of course, is even here as he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. You see, this isn't a mechanical connection. This is a living connection, and this is a loving connection. Do you see how he puts that together here? It's a living and a loving connection that he talks about here. It isn't mechanical. It isn't just, you know, okay, well, let's, you know, build a Lego set, and I'll stick this arm on the Lego thing, and that'll be... It isn't that. It is living, alive, but loving as well. This is an incredible union that God is offering to us and encouraging us into. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full, rich, real, alive. So when he says keeping the commandments, maybe you're going to get into this kind of a mode to say, well, here's what God says I got to do. Now, if I go out and do it, then God's going to love me. That's not what he's talking about. He's already laid the foundation. You will only be able to keep the commandments of God as you abide in him. Then that fruit comes out, the fruit of obedience and the fruit of the Spirit coming out of your experience. And as that begins to happen, you begin to embrace the love of God. You begin to experience that love of God. And it just kind of multiplies. It grows. Absolutely. Yeah, it's like that, you know, raspberry pie. I love raspberry pie. Best pie ever, right? I don't care if there's seeds in it. It's good. What's that? Oh, raspberry pie. So, you take a piece of raspberry pie. Somebody give me a raspberry pie and give me, okay, I have one slice of that pie, a little slice of that. Here's the slice of that pie. Guess what I want? I want more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, sometimes that ain't a good idea. But when it comes to the Lord, it's a good idea to want more. It's a good idea to say, oh, Lord, I want more of you all the time. Lord, fill me up. Let me experience all that you are. Let me live in the joy of the Lord that really is my strength. Let me walk with you. Let me, Lord, live in the truth of your commandments, in all that you have to say. Everything about Jesus, everything that he has to say is wonderful, it's lovely, it's glorious. Live there. Go there. You know, I've often challenged people, I've adventured people to say, let's try living this way for a little while. We've lived every other kind of way, haven't we? Let's try this one. Let's go this route. Let's say, okay, Lord, I don't want to be just half connected here. I want the full sap, Lord. I want the whole enchilada. Here I am. God, take me. And take me forward, one step at a time. Fill me. Take my passions. Take my desires. Take me, Lord. I just want to be connected to you in a deeper and richer way. I want to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. I want to live this way. Ah, it's a good way to go. Yes, he's calling us. He's calling every one of us to this kind of life. And it is a glorious life. You won't lose. I can't imagine anybody at the end of their life saying, oh, gee, Lord, I abided in you too much. I trusted you too much. And Lord, I had too much love and too much joy and too much patience in my life. I wish I had been a more miserable cur. Huh? Can you imagine that? Yeah. He wants your joy to be absolutely full. And so out of that abiding comes this fruit. And one of the prominent fruit that you see, part of the prominent fruit is that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he lays down his life for my friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made them known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And then he speaks about the world again. But you can see here that fruit bearing keeps ringing through this whole passage of Scripture. But as he calls you to live in obedience to himself, he gives you the clue of how that's going to happen. He's saying, you got to trust me. You got to rest in me. Surrender to Jesus. Now I wonder, do you think that the vine, the Lord Jesus, is kind of stingy with the sap? Do you think he is? Do you think that he's got a big block up and he's saying, I'm not letting you get any of this love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness or gentleness? No way. Yeah. Do you think that he's reluctant? Or this wouldn't make any sense if he was. If there's a blockage, is it on his side or is it on your side? So if there is, just ask him. Lord, do whatever you want with me. I'm telling you, God, I'm yielding to you. I'm saying, Lord, take over my experience. You take over my life. Well, you know, maybe you have a little root of bitterness towards somebody. Just a tiny one. God will show you that. And then what are you going to do? I'm going to hold on to that. There's not going to be much flow. But saying, yes, Lord, you can have that too. You can take it all. You take it all, Lord. Don't let there be anything cluttering the work of the Spirit of God in me. You're the vine, Lord. I'm the branch. I want to bear much fruit. I want to abide in you. I want to remain with you. I don't want to be half dead. I don't want to be dead at all. I don't want to just want a little bit of fruit. I want much fruit, and I want more fruit, and I want fruit that remains, that goes on with God. I want to encourage you. This is a very simple message with a simple truth. But oh, how profound it is if it's lived. The Bible is not complicated. It is profound because it really speaks to how to live in this moment. And I think I've said this many times. But if you're going to remain or trust in God or abide in him in this moment, just take this moment. Say, okay, God, I'm surrendering right now. I'm surrendering everything that I know of to you. If there's other things that need to be brought to mind, then you can bring them in, Lord. But right as far as I know, I'm laying it all down. God will honor that. He really will. Now, maybe in 10 minutes' time, something comes flooding in and your stress level rises, you know, 80% or whatever. You realize, okay, Lord, I'm back on the driver's seat here. I've stopped resting. Just becoming aware that that's the key to coming back. Sorry, Lord, I'm back. Take over again. Take over my mind. Take over my life. So maybe in the run of the day, you might only get 10 minutes in or 15 minutes. Maybe you'll get 5 hours in where you're resting deeper than you were before. Man, that's better than nothing at all. That's better than day after day of running on your own strength and your own steam. And not producing the fruit of the Spirit of God. Take every moment you can. Are we going to fail? Sure you are.
But you're going to grow.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll grow. As you rest, as you learn to trust God, you will grow. And as you grow, you will discover the fruit of God coming. And once you begin to experience that kind of fruit and is growing in your life, you won't be able to settle for anything else. You'll find everything else pales in insignificance. You'll say, I have to have you, God. I can't live without you. I found that myself, because there are times when, you know, maybe I want to take a little vacation from the Lord. Me, yeah, the preacher. You know, I'm just, you know, kind of just carry on. Not, I don't mean go out and do some terrible sin, but just, you know, maybe not be quite so intense. I'm kind of an intense guy. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Maybe there's some kind of not. But then I find, and I thank God I'm in the ministry. I really do. And I've said this before. God knew how weak I was, so he put me in the ministry. Now, you may not understand that, but what I'm saying is that I'm driven to the Word of God almost every day. I'm driven to see what the Lord has to say, because there's somebody out there and I'm going to have to teach them. And what can I teach you if I don't have the Lord? Now, I can just use my gift of gab and go on and on and on, but I know how empty that is. And I would be terrified to stand in front of you without the Spirit of God. I would feel like naked. I might as well take all my clothes. No, never mind that picture. Let's move on from there. But I would feel naked, utterly naked, without God's power, without God's Spirit somehow meeting me and pouring out through me towards you. What an awful thing it would be. I couldn't be in the ministry. I would be done with the ministry if I did not have God touching me and filling me. I couldn't do it. I have to remain with him. Now that tells you how weak I am. Because I should want to remain with him no matter whether I'm in the ministry or not. But if I don't have a lot of ministry in front of me, you know, like sometimes maybe a couple of days where I don't have a meeting where I'm preaching or teaching, I can slack off from looking to the Lord, from praying, from reading. So I sympathize, I deeply sympathize with every one of you. How easily it can be pushed to the side. But listen, it's not just for ministry we need the Lord. We need him for the nuts and bolts of life. I remember one time I was in the hayfield. And I think I may show the story. Yeah, I tell stories and I can't remember who I told them to. But anyway, the baler was breaking down. Marie was on the baler, on the tractor, and I was behind trying to get the baler to work, and nothing would work. And it was threatening rain. There was a whole field of hay. And I was getting stressed. I mean, very stressed. And I had a screwdriver there, and the knots would, and a knife, and the knotter would just wrap all the twine around the knot, and I would cut that. And then at the end of it, it would come out, and it wouldn't be knotted on one side, and she was baling, and I was actually literally tying the knots by hand on one side on the bale to see if we could get the field done that way. It turns out that the very arm was cracked on the knotter arm. It wouldn't make any more knots. It was an old junk of a baler. But I was so stressed out. And suddenly I realized, okay, this is not Jesus here. You've been far from here. I've been angry at a piece of steel, and I was. I was ready to take a maul and whack that piece of steel. And what good would that have done, right? So I realized, there, God began to show me something that I could get up and preach a message, and I'd look to the Lord and abide in Christ for that. But I didn't think I needed to rest in him quite so much to be out in the hayfield. But I discovered I need him as much there as I need him up here in the pulpit. You need him as much in your home, in your workplace, in your business, in your dealings with your family, with your husband, with your spouses, man. You really need him, right? We need God. We need the sap of God. We need the Spirit of the living God, the very person of Jesus, the person of the Holy Spirit, to be in us and through us for every single thing in life. Everything. Not just spiritual things, but everything. Because everything becomes spiritual then. It really does. So I'm learning. And sometimes I'm thankful to the Lord that I'm not just a preacher, but I'm a farmer too, and a fisherman too. Because then I get to realize, boy, I don't want to stand up here and pontificate at you guys and say, you know, this is the way it is. You know, you should be all holy and spiritual people like me. Because it's not true. I need Jesus. I need him for my relax time. I need him all the time. You take a vacation from Jesus, you're going to go into a mess. Don't think about it.
Just think about how often, I don't know, I imagine every single day, you feel like the Lord stepped in here, or the Lord helped you here. I just feel that all the time.
Sure.
But you just think about if you didn't have it in your life working with
it. Absolutely. It would be a mess. Yeah. And that's true. God works in spite of us so much and pulls us back often. But let's run to him. Let's not always be running away from him. You know, some of you got kids that are always running away from you, and you're always trying to catch them, right? Yeah. Well, just think about yourself, and you get kind of a little frustrated, just a tiny bit sometimes about that. But can you imagine the Lord watching you constantly running away, grabbing you, pulling you back, and you say, and then you say, oh yeah, thank you, Lord, you're so good, you restored me. But then, you know, a couple of days later, whoosh, off you are again. Running after, grabbing you, pulling you back, you know. Boy, the Lord's got, what a ton of patience the Lord has. Stick with him. Try sticking with him for a while. Let's pray. Thank you for the Bible, Lord. Thank you for its practicality. And thank you, Jesus, that you are right here, right now. And that we can remain with you. Don't let us go in any other direction in our experience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.